Just talking with Dave Phillips about the weather this weekend. Sounds like it's going to be a dandy. Here's the thing, because there's always so much to do around here in the summer. It's one of the great things about living in this area in the summer. You can get as involved as you want to. One of the events that's been around, I don't know how many years now. We'll find out in a second. Oh, sorry, 21 years. It's in my own notes. If I could just read my own writing, I'd be so much better. Sun Life Financial is the headline sponsor, but it's the Underwater Jazz Festival. And Colleen, you got there kind of late last year on the Saturday night. That's a full spot. And I just, you know, I like jazz. It's hard to, it is. Jazz is like nailing jello to a tree because everybody has a different definition of what jazz is, which is why I think the Jazz Festival in Waterloo does a good job bringing such a variety in. And yet in all these years, they've never asked me to help them decide who to bring in. You know, like I know that people send them CDs and they sit around and they say, let's bring this. I've never been invited to those meetings. And I want to know why. Patty Brooks joins the conversation, the executive director of Uptown Waterloo. I want to know why. I've known you for 28 years. We met when you were 11 and you still want to invite me to these parties.
And can you hear me snickering as you're chatting?
Always. But you do that anytime anyway.
Gary, it's because I know you that I don't invite you to the meeting.
Okay.
Good morning.
You win. Sorry. How much fun is this still as much fun as it looks like?
You know what? Honest to goodness, Gary, it's as fun today as it was 20 years ago.
We're
just blessed with incredible community support, including you guys over at Rogers Radio, to keep this festival. It's quite a coup, and I have to toot our own horn to keep this festival free for 21 years. It's quite an accomplishment.
Well, I was uptown last weekend for Latin Fest, and that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. That's great fun.
Sort of like a warm-up.
It is a warm-up because they did a lot of Latin jazz. And of course, it was completely Latin, but and we do some Latin jazz here too. And you referred to the different genres of jazz, and you're quite right. Everybody has a different opinion, so we're very conscious to bring something for everyone. So there are jazz purists out there who will love the Oscar Peterson Tribute Band or the Stretch Orchestra. The talent that comes with those two bands is extraordinary. And then there's people who are going to want to come tonight, which we sort of consider our funky jazz night, and we open with Soul Stew, and they are funky Motown jazz. Great, great band. And then Stealing Dan, of course, is a Steely Dan tribute, and they are really good, and they're all local players. They're just terrific. And then we headline with Ivana Santilli, and she's lovely and beautiful and, best of all, incredibly talented.
Oscar Peterson tribute band. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? I still listen to Oscar Peterson music.
Absolutely. Then you'll be here 1:30 tomorrow, Gary.
Well, that's a little early for me on a Saturday. Will the bar be open?
Yes.
Okay, I'll be there.
Absolutely. And see, I know better than that, too.
Yeah, no kidding. Mad Dusk is, the Saturday night, that's a good get. We've had him here in studio before. I've seen him perform before. This is going back to the Stylin' vocalists.
Absolutely, and he's. Thank you for saying that. He's a good get, and we're very proud that he's going to be here. He was here with us once before, and he's produced a couple of albums since he was here. He is the consummate performer. He is the nicest young man. I mean, I have a son his age. He is so good. I know. Stop laughing.
I have golf clubs his age, Patty. So, yeah.
And he's just an all-around great guy. He jumps down into the audience, which starts my heart fluttering because I'm so nervous for him. But he's just a team player. Great, great fun, and we're just thrilled to have him. And opening for him, of course, is Divine Brown, and she's also very lovely. So if you're here to see Divine Brown and Matt Dusk, stick around because I'm without giving too much away, you might find a couple of surprises.
You know what? You don't see artists like this an awful lot coming to what is essentially a free festival. I mean, I know it's not, you know, free for everybody because there's costs involved. That's why you have mm-hmm. to go after sponsorships. But you don't tend to see this level of artists show up at a lot of these free festivals. You don't.
You don't. And I mean, it's no secret that artists cost a lot of money. I will tell you, though, that we're so blessed that these artists and all the artists we've had over the years are very respective and appreciative of what we do, that we work with a volunteer team, 100% volunteer, and we work so hard to keep this free. And they're truly amazed that 10,000 people come to see them all for free, and that we, as a volunteer group, are working this hard to make our guests happy to see these kind of performances. So in turn, the artists are just, they're incredibly appreciative of it.
Well, there's that volunteer thing, and we talked about that last week with the LPGA tournament in town. And the volunteer spirit is pretty cool around here to see it.
It's I've never seen a community like it. And and you know, with my other hat, with my BIA job, I've been around up to a lot of communities, and I truly haven't. Our statistics are that over 70% of our jazz volunteer base has been here with us for over 15 years. The same people.
Yeah.
And you know what? You know, Gary, my mantra, it doesn't cost anything to be kind to people. You treat people nicely, you treat people well and with respect, and they're going to come back.
Yeah. He'll give you an idea. This is an email from Mo. He's a regular. He says, jazz is musical chaos. Anything goes, and when it's good, it does.
Oh,
that's a pretty
great.
Good definition, eh?
I love it. Email that to me, please.
Okay.
I love it.
Musical chaos. because we had this conversation at home, because, you know, I like all genres of music, but I was talking with a buddy, and he says, I say jazz. What do you say? Immediately, what's the first thing that comes to mind? And for me, it's Grover Washington.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Oh, like, Ken would love you for saying that.
Oh, what are you? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a big Grover Washington. What, like, I don't have as much jazz in the collection as I would like to, but I know what I like.
But, you know, when we were listening to Grover Washington just a few years ago, Gary, I don't think a lot of people thought of jazz. They were sort of into that, you know, Grover and Herbie Hancock and Boz Scaggs. Those guys were all sort of doing their own thing. And so it's a genre of jazz, of course. But then, you know, you've got people who really just appreciate pure jazz, and we're very careful to bring that to them. We've got some swing jazz happening. We've got some straight-up jazz, which, again, I call pure jazz. We have a couple of other gentlemen. Randy Light, for instance, tomorrow afternoon at the Public Square stage, is going to do some of his own crooning style, and he's very, very talented. And then, of course, a big piece of this festival is what we call our education and outreach program, where we invite youth of all stages in their life, whether they've ever touched an instrument or not, to come and either hone their craft, learn the craft, join our workshops, which are actually taught by some of our performers here at the festival.
Well, two stories quickly before I let you go. My son actually was involved in that, as you know, through his time at Bluevale and singing. And he doesn't live here anymore, but he's still performing. And years ago, I was asked to introduce one of the Saturday evening acts, and I don't remember the gentleman's name. I remember that he was Cuban, and he was a trumpet player.
Alexis Barrow.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm getting ready to go on stage, because I'm wearing my, you know, my golf shirt with horns all over it, I had him up to $100 American. He wanted to buy my shirt, and then I wouldn't sell it to him, and my wife slapped me. Why didn't you take the $100 for the shirt?
That's a great story. Alexis is coming back this year. He's actually playing with Soul Stew.
You know what? I'm going to wear the shirt.
You should. And you come on back, and I'll make him say hello to you.
Hope he's still got the 100. I'm booked tonight, but I'm definitely going to be there tomorrow. Patty, thanks. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you, Gary. We appreciate your support.
Take care. Bye-bye. Patty Brooks is the executive director of the Uptown Waterloo BIA, and she's knee-deep in the Jazz Festival. We did this yesterday with summer music, so I want to know jazz. I say jazz, you say... Mo's definition was perfect. Musical chaos. I think that's brilliant. I really do. I say jazz. What do you say? Gary says jazz is what feelings sound like. There's another one. Back in a minute. This is 570 News. So I say jazz, you say what? Or who? What do you think jazz is? I'm not looking for, like, I've already had two very poetic definitions of jazz. But I was talking about relatable to an artist. I say jazz, you say, because, well, I got asked last week, and my immediate response without thinking was Grover Washington. Because he kind of introduced me to that whole thing. Oscar Peterson is another one. When you, it's easy for me to say that's jazz. Although she's considered a pop artist, I think Diana Krall is jazz. I think Holly Cole is jazz. That's how do you do that? How do you define jazz? And when you think jazz, who do you think? Because if you can come up with an artist I'm not aware of, you know, I'm going to leave here today and probably go buy the music because that's what I do. In town, out of town, toll free, 1-800-570-5715. Cell phone number, hands free, is *570. You can email the show. Just go to Gary at 570news.com. And I'm on Twitter at GaryDoyle570. I say jazz. What do you say? A lot of them are coming to the jazz or have been here. One of the groups I used to really like back in the day, I don't know if they reunited at the Jazz Festival a few years ago or not, but Manteca was here. And as typical of my house, my wife will say, well, who's Manteca? And then I run downstairs and rummage around in the crates I have down there and find the vinyl. Because that's what I do. I say jazz. What do you say? How do you define it? And who would you consider to be a jazz artist that you would go see? Because when I go to the Jazz Festival, there's a lot. I don't know most of these names, but you leave going, wow, who are these people? Because there's so much to it. Well, you know, Jeff just says Miles Davis. That's it. That's all he said. He didn't tell me why. He just said Miles Davis. And how do you disagree with that? Charlie Parker, Thelonious Monk, Herbie Hancock, Louis Armstrong. These are all names that come to mind. I say jazz, you say who? 519-570-2545 in town. Out of town, toll free is 1-800-570-5715. Cell phone number, hands free is *570. And you can email the show, just go to Gary at 570news.com. And I'm on Twitter at GaryDoyle570. Who do you think of when I say jazz? Dan, who comes to mind?
When you say jazz, automatically all I think of is guitar. I don't care. Even Diana Krall's guitar player is absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
But the tones that you get is what does it for me over, you know, the screaming rock guitars, which definitely has its place. But when it comes to guitars and jazz, I think of George Benson in his early days, Al DiMeola, Jesse Cook. Absolutely fantastic guitarist. And if you can find her, Jesse Cook is almost always acoustic, but Al DiMeola, when he does acoustic stuff, it's like the guitar neck is on fire. He moves so fast.
You know, I picked up Jesse Cook's latest last month.
Oh, isn't it brilliant?
Yeah, there's only one vocal track on the whole thing, though. It's very good, but, you know, like to me, you say Jesse Cook, and to me that's sitting on the deck on a Sunday afternoon reading a book, you know, with the outdoor speakers on. That's what that is.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Right, you know, like a lot of these headliners get all the praise, but man, they got some great musicians backing them up.
It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
It really is.
All right, thanks. Alan, I say jazz, you say... Hey, Alan.
Alan?
Yep.
This is Rico calling. Do you remember Rico calling yesterday?
I do.
You do?
I do.
I want to tell you I'm a psychiatric patient. That's why I humped and hawed a little bit.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm very glad. I'm German born. I'm very proud to be a German.
Okay, so what? Well, I'm talking jazz though right now. I want to know what you think of when I say jazz music.
Am I on the phone? Am I on TV?
No, you're not on TV, brother, but I appreciate the call. Mark, you're up.
Anita Baker, I think of, and you know, something that your guest brought up. When I was young, I listened to Steely Dan all the time. When I was a kid, I loved it. I never considered it as jazz, but now when I think back to those great songs, yeah, they are jazz.
Yeah, and this, by the way, this tribute band, I've seen them. You're gonna like it.
Well, you know, I didn't know they were Steely Dan tribute band, and now that I know that, I'm definitely gonna try and make it out.
makes a difference, doesn't it, when you can make that connection? But here's the thing. If you're coming to see them, Mark, show up early and stay late. Check the act before and the check and the act after, because that's how you learn.
Yeah.
There's so much. And you're right. I always thought of Steely Dan as what we used to call prog rock, right? Progressive rock.
Right, right.
Yeah, I never thought of them as jazz either. But it's
if you think of the way they write and the way they play, it is got that jazz to it.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of that to it. It's all free form. I like that. One of the things I like about jazz, too, is, you know, I've seen a lot of these artists perform, and they just get completely lost in the moment. And I just think that's absolutely brilliant. Probably the best example of that is Dave Brubeck. You know, I had a couple of Dave Brubeck albums back while I still got them. But you take a look at the vinyl, right, and you see pop music, and there's a track. There's five or six tracks per side. You get a Dave Brubeck a piece of vinyl, and one side of it is might have two tracks on it, because they get right into it. That's what I like about jazz. Jazz Schmazz, he calls it. John Coltrane is right up there. Any recording on the Verb label, Verve, from 1940 to 1965. I have a Verve collection from the 50s, which is four CDs of fun. Gary says Jeff Healey is who he thinks of. John says, man, look no further than our own shores, Oscar Peterson. Now, I'm not defending myself, but in my own defense, he's the second one I named right after Grover Washington. Because he's pretty, you know, Oscar Peterson music is, I got a collection of it, and I used to think that a lot of this jazz was background music, you know, like house party music. But if you actually stop what you're doing and focus on it, pretty cool trip. Tracy says, to me, when I think of jazz, I think of Harry Connick Jr., Sweet on the Ears and Sweet on the Eyes. When he first became popular is when I got into jazz, and I never missed the excellent festival we have now. Now, if Harry came along one year, yowzer. I'm pretty sure, Tracy, he'd get a restraining order. I'm just saying. I'm pretty sure Harry would get a restraining order if he knew you were coming after him. But I say jazz, and who do you say? Michael says Art Tatum, and then he sent me a YouTube a clip. So, yes, I will look after that later. He also said Thelonious Monk. So those are his two favorites. I've got a Charlie Christian CD at home that's pretty darn good. Dizzy Gillespie, there's another one on the email. This is from Jerry, and he's actually sent in a picture of Dizzy. What I remember with Dizzy Gillespie is his cheeks went out farther than his ears when he was doing these things. And to me, the visual of that was pretty phenomenal. You remember seeing those? Max Roach, there's another voice. Carol says Billie Holiday. When she thinks of jazz, she thinks of Billie Holiday. See what I mean? Like, how do you define jazz? I say jazz. And what do you say? Mike, what do you say?
Gary, I don't mean to cramp your style by jumping on the show here, but when I heard you talk about Divine Brown opening for Matt Dust at the Jazz Festival, in a previous life at a radio station I worked at, when Divine Brown was just emerging on the scene, her hit was Old School Love, and she came into our studios and sang it live, and I can still remember it like it was yesterday. It absolutely gave me chills. So I have no... You know, I'm soliciting on her behalf, but I'm not being paid for this endorsement. Go see her at the Jazz Festival, because she just simply cannot disappoint you. A voice straight from the heavens is beautiful.
All right, two hands on the wheel. Be careful now.
Always. I'm hands-free, my friend.
All right, as you should be, particularly at the Jazz Festival. One more in here. This is from John. You say jazz, I say a band falling down a flight of stairs. Again, brilliant. This is 570 News. It is 11:35. Now, when we go back to the when I started the show about Senate abolition and then went into wind turbines, I had a number of callers saying, you're not helping my stress levels. The heat is and the humidity is bad enough, and now you're talking nonsense. You know, everybody has stress, okay? Everybody has a level of stress. I think it's how you deal with the stress. Now, the more stress... sometimes it's harder to deal with. I get that. But do we really know? Do we pay any attention? Because, you know, what I do for a living, is that stressful? Not so much for me, But if you were to put somebody off the street and somebody that has no training or interest in front of a live microphone for 4 hours a day, they would consider that stressful. If you put me in an air traffic control tower and said, there you go, let's have the let's keep the ballet in the air, that would be stressful for me. So first, I think you got to find what you love to do. Second of all, we all have stress, but if you don't deal with the stress, what are the impacts? Betty Franklin is a registered nurse and the chief cook and bottle watch at letitbeginwithme.ca. She's a speaker, a health coach, and the author of Guts, Get Uncomfortable to Succeed, Embrace Health, Balance, and Abundance. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Gary?
I'm well. Did I describe stress okay?
You did.
And don't we all have stress?
Pardon me?
Don't we all have stress?
We all have stress at varying different levels, and I believe we need to be aware of the different things in life that cause us stress.
Give me a good example.
Well, relationships cause stress.
Good start. Good start.
Finances cause stress. Yeah. Our self-esteem, self-image causes us stress. And as a nurse, when you go to the healthcare system, are our stresses addressed properly?
Yeah. I have a cardiologist that I don't see very often, thankfully. Last time I went to see him, I had to be at Toronto East at 7:45 on a Wednesday morning. And when I got there, he said, boy, your blood pressure's up. And I looked at him like, seriously, I just drove here from Waterloo. It took me 2.5 hours. Why wouldn't my blood pressure be up?
Exactly.
So, I have issues with that stresses. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what could you have done, Gary, to have lessened that stress?
I guess gone in the night before and got a hotel or had him meet me in Waterloo at the hospital here.
That would have stressed the doctor out.
Well, there you go. And he's the expert, right?
That's right.
How does this stress impact our body?
Stress releases the fight or flight response in our bodies. Are you familiar? Have you heard of the fight or flight response?
Every day.
And that fight or flight response releases a chemical cocktail into our system, a cortisol and adrenaline, which speeds up internal functions inside our body. Our heart rate, our respiratory rate, affects our immune system, it affects the way we think. And if we do not put the brakes on or stop that stress or minimize it, that stress and all that chemical cocktail creasing things, it's like you're spinning a wheel. And it goes faster and faster and faster. Unless you stop it or slow it down, you can lose control, fall off, the wheel falls off its axis, and disease can set in.
So how do we stop it?
You have to start by being aware. I don't think anything changes in life until you're aware. And creating awareness, for me, creating awareness about what causes stress is a starting point. And that's why I said initially, finances, relationships, self-esteem. I promote a type of a holistic or a whole health. We're more than just physical beings. We also are mental and spiritual beings. We have a mind, body, and a soul. So, and we have needs as human beings. We need to feel as though we belong. We need to be valued. We need food, shelter, and clothing. What happens when those needs aren't met? We're stressed. So in my book, I talk about the 6 F's of health and well-being, and they're family, friends, fitness, finance, faith, and fun. And they're parts of a balance wheel. And I ask people how satisfied they are with each component, each one of those F's, and then to measure their level of satisfaction from a scale of 0 to 10 on each of the spokes of that wheel, and then to attach the spokes.
Right.
And take a look at their wheel. Does your wheel roll? Flat wheels won't roll. So
yeah,
there's some certain areas that you're having stress. So it creates an awareness. So now what are you going to do about it? What can you do about it? And there's various things that you can do.
I've described, and people have asked me to describe how do you feel when you think about where you are and how you got here. And like, this is my 37th year on the air. So I've always done what I want to do.
Which is great.
I've described myself, you know, my wife and I still talk to each other. The kids are grown and gone and paying their bills. I feel content.
Good.
Is that a good place to be?
I think so. I believe, because I don't think some people don't have that contentment, that peace of mind.
Yeah.
And so then the stress is less when you are content, when you have peace of mind with the various aspects of your life. Obviously, your relationships are good. You're enjoying your work. My assumption is your finances are stable after having a job for the same type of job for all these years. You have fun with what you're doing. Well, fun is a new component of fun is and laughter and play is a great stress reliever.
Now, there is stress involved, but there's stress involved in every job. I want to put on the best show I can every day. So there's stress that way. But once the microphone's on, I can't affect it either way, so I just have fun with it.
Yeah, and that's there's good stress, but it's when that stress is ongoing. When you go home and there's relationship stress at home, and you can't resolve it, if you're not communicating well with your partner or there's things going on with your kids, that's ongoing stress. That wheel keeps spinning. Unless you can kind of come to terms and put it in its place, that stress level is going to keep going. And that's they say that 80%, if not more, of disease is stress-related. And whatever your genetic weak link, stress will trigger it. So if you've got that constant stress going on, if there's a genetic weak link in your body for heart condition or for migraines, for cancer or whatever, that stress, that adrenaline or rush, that chemical cocktail in time can trigger our cells being damaged.
The stress has to be channeled somehow then.
That's right, in a healthy way.
You know what? There's so much meat on this bone. There's so much more we can learn on a daily basis, because this isn't just a discipline or something you can. I can't just read your book and say, okay, therefore from now on I'm going to be better. You actually have to put in the effort.
That's right, and that's where the title of the book, Guts, Get Uncomfortable to Succeed. It's not easy. It takes work. It takes work to build a good relationship. It takes work to build healthy finances. It takes work to build a healthy self-esteem. How many of us have our mind telling us that we're not good, or that we messed up, or we made another mistake?
Pretty much all of us, I think.
Yes. But in the book, I talk about just a little bit about we are magnificent masterpieces. We have been made phenomenally. We have over 50 trillion cells in our body that function, that keep us growing, keep us moving. Our brain thinks at 60,000 thoughts a day. We have over 60,000 thoughts a day. How many of those are good thoughts?
60,000 thoughts a day.
Yeah. And how many of those thoughts are positive thoughts?
Okay, let me give you this scenario then, Betty, because it took me 25 years of being married to the same woman so that when we're driving someplace and she says to me, what are you thinking about? And I say nothing, that she believes me.
I have a girlfriend, this couple friends of ours, like he has said, sometimes with the guy, there's nothing there.
No.
I'm not thinking anything.
And I'm good with that.
Yes, yes.
But then, and when I said that, then one of my regular female listeners sent me a little pie chart that said, take your computer, open up 1,170 windows, leave them all open at the same time. That's what's going on in a woman's head.
Yes, I can attest to that.
Well, so is that stressful for you? Are women under more stress than men because of that?
I think we have to control it. Just as much as anybody else. I can speak for myself, but I can't speak for other women. Like, yes, my brain, my thoughts go into the gutter sometimes, and I have to work to get that peace and that contentment and send those negative thoughts away. But it took me a while to realize I'm having all those thoughts. I don't have to keep those thoughts in my head. I have a choice. I can send them away. I can, like a computer, I can delete them, get rid of them, and replace them with good thoughts.
So if I can use the computer analogy, my mind when I'm not working is constantly in defrag mode. I just don't think about it.
Yeah.
And that too is a discipline, by the way.
Yeah. It is. It's that self-discipline. We have to discipline our brain to think the good thoughts, because negative thoughts beget more negative thoughts, and what we think we make real.
So the more we worry about stuff like this, the more it's affecting our health.
That's right. You know, and worry isn't a good trait. Like, some people may think they worry because, and that shows that you really care, but what can you really do? Worry is like a rocking chair. Gives you something to do, but doesn't get you anywhere.
Ah, I was going to quote, who but by worrying can add a single hour to their lives, but...
That's right.
You know, that's another one that I like to quote a lot. Betty, you know what? It was a treat to get your thoughts on the show today. Now I'm going to spend a worry-free weekend because of it. So,
awesome.
Thank you for that, and good luck with the book.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. Betty Franklin is a speaker, a health coach, an RN, and she wrote the book called Guts, Get Uncomfortable to Succeed. About stress and what it does to our bodies, because she says that the six leading causes of death in this country are stress-related. And the six leading causes of death in this country are heart disease, stroke, cancer, respiratory disease, accidents / suicide, and diabetes. She says they're all stress-related. How do you deal with stress? How do you deal with stress? Everybody's got bills to pay. Everybody's got a job to do. Everybody's got someone they're accountable to. Maybe I'm just oblivious. And maybe my wife is, she worries enough for both of us, is what I like to say. So why would I want to do that? That job's taken in my family. How do you deal with stress? Help me out. This is 570 News. Well, and I think we all get stressed, right? But how do you deal with it? How do you deal with it? And what stresses you out? Because for a lot of people, it comes down to finances, and that affects your relationships. I don't have a stress-free life. I haven't perfected anything in my life. But I got this one down pretty good. I don't stress about a lot of things. Mel, what do you do?
Hey, Gary. Well, your guest there talked about faith and talked about, you know, your spirit and stuff. I used to use my faith a lot. But lately, it's just I've lost it because I've got so much stress, especially medical stress, you know, not being told what my problem is and my husband's problem is. And so lately I've just kind of crawled up into a corner and not really. It's frustrating.
Well, yeah.
It's very frustrating, but I'm thinking I should try and exercise again and get back to trying to think positive, but you really, it's very hard.
So what have you lost faith in? The medical system, doctors, what?
That too, but I used to really grasp onto God and stuff, and I feel so guilty of, okay, let go and let God. But, medical field, it's like, oh, we don't know what it is, and, you know, we're not going to dig any further. Well, why not? You know,
yeah.
I'm in pain. My husband's in pain. Okay, figure it out. Just don't ignore us. That's a lot of stress right there.
Understandable. I'm sorry you're going through that.
Thanks, Gary.
But it's a tough one. It's a tough one. Thanks, Mel. I appreciate your call. I appreciate your honesty. Linda says, I just have to say no a little more often when asked to volunteer for or to organize an event. Sometimes I'm my own worst enemy. Have a nice weekend. I got to get back to preparing for the gathering at our house today. You answered your own question. I got a caller who said vitamin B helps with stress. Well, I take vitamin B. But I take vitamin B because some of the prescription meds that I have to take deplenish me of vitamin B. I'm a big believer in that balance. I take a lot of supplements every day. But I don't think that's it, and I feel very bad for Mel and what she's going through right now. That's got to be tough. You know, there's a friend of mine, a guy that I know quite well, who's just waiting to get tests back on what could or could not be cancer. You want stress, that should stress them out, don't you think? But he says, no, it's actually bringing us closer together as a family. You know, confronting those possibilities. So that's you. That's channeling it in a pretty good direction, I'd say. How do you deal with stress? What stresses you out? Because according to Betty, it's really affecting our health. So much is stress-related today. And I get that. I understand that. But I think it's a skill that you have to acquire. I don't think you can just wake up one morning and say, I'm going to be better at dealing with stress today. I don't think that happens. I think you have to work at it. Stress management is a skill. 519-570-2545 in town. Out of town, toll free, 1-800-570-5715. Cell phone number, hands free, is *570. And you can email me. Just go to Gary@570news.com, and I'm on Twitter at GaryDoyle570. Tim says, I've learned how to positive self-talk. I read a book on positive self-talk. It says we talk to ourselves anyway, so why not be positive? I'm sorry, but that, you know, it is that simple, isn't it? So Tim says, instead of saying I can't do this, now I say I'll do the best I can. Instead of saying everything is going wrong, I try to say I can handle things if I take them one step at a time. Instead of saying I hate it when this happens, I say now I know how to deal with this. I've been here before. Practice, practice, practice. Pretty good advice. Some things that I've had to learn because because of what I do, I guess. If I reacted immediately with my first conscious thought, I had probably been kicked off the air a long time ago. So you have to learn how to develop that. Or as my wife says, use your filter. Use your filter. Take some deep breaths before you respond. It sounds hackneyed, but people say count to 10 before you say anything. Walk away. My dad did that, and I did that. It was a great example. Me. If my dad was angry with me, he'd leave the room. And he'd come back when he was calm enough to talk to me. Mind you, the time when he left the room, the time he came back, was more stress than I ever felt in my life, wondering what he was going to say when he came back in the room. Just find the pleasure in the little things. When stress makes you feel bad, do something that makes you feel good. Relax. I mentioned earlier when we had Dave Phillips on that I have a nice chaise lounge on the deck where I get home, and if the weather's cooperating, that's where you're going to find me, under a tree, outside in the breeze, reading a book. Because it's a de-stressor for me. We all need quiet time. But Betty Franklin's book, there's a lot of basic stuff in there, but she puts it succinctly. It's called Guts. Get Uncomfortable to Succeed. And you can learn what causes stress, how it's impacting your body, how to address those stressors. It's not just enough to exercise and eat healthy. How important your relations are, and then you'll learn the wheel, the five powerful words that change your life immediately. This is 570 News.